Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest. You've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil. Maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope.
You might be mocking me or you might be staunchly agreeing with me. I can't tell.
I'm mocking you.
And the Bulldog.
What is Fozzie Bear's role in this production?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I like the stat from Warren Sharp today. I almost do all the time. He's always got interesting numbers for me. By a huge margin last year, Miami and New England had the highest percentage of run plays stuffed for no gain in short yardage. Way above, like 44% of short yard, whatever that is, however that is defined, short yardage runs, stuffed for no gain.
It's always a bad sign when you can't do that when they know it's coming.
Yes, and it feels like that is not an easy fix, but an offensive line fix. Mm-hmm. And it's not something we would necessarily even like realize had happened as teams change their rosters. But if it did, that's a different team on offense. If you went to the other end of that category and you could just, yeah. I mean, it's also not having Allen, right? Automatic almost on short yardage.
Yeah, you're probably not tush-pushing Tua.
You're probably not tush-pushing Tua. Sam Monson, have you ever heard truer words? Sam Monson, check the mic with us on the West Shore Hotline. Always a pleasure. How's life? How's the podcast?
Yeah, it's doing well. We're busy setting up our new studio at the moment. So, yeah, I went to Home Depot today, got a whole bunch of painting supplies. So that's my life at the moment.
Is this you and Steve doing the actual physical work, the labor?
Yeah, one of us anyway. You don't want Steve doing an awful lot beyond taking advantage of being 9 feet tall.
All right. Well, I can feel your pain a little bit coming through the phone. Well,
yeah, I mean, when I moved over here, a couple of friends from PFF came and sort of helped us put some bits and pieces together. And by the end of the kind of process, we had relegated to Steve to simply placing a screw in a hole for somebody to come along later and screw it in.
It just bring the coffee and donuts or something,
tough,
Steve.
Come on, Steve. Times for Steve.
That's come on. Help us out. At least do something. Well, Sam, I mean, it's kind of random, but just making that point about the short yardage stats, are we take not necessarily Bulldog or me or even yourself, but are people taking the AFC East for granted this year in terms of the Bills' chances of winning for it would be a sixth straight year? Are there sort of like maybe traps in this division that are not getting enough attention, or maybe not?
I mean, I think they should still be comfortable favorites of the division going into the year, you know, come on May. But I do think the other three teams represent a really broad range of outcomes. Like the Patriots might have the broadest range of outcomes of any team in football this year, like realistic range of outcomes. They could be terrible again, right? All the fixes that they've theoretically made on paper to the offensive line, to the receiver room, none of them might have worked. It might be the same as last year, where they threw a lot of bodies at that thing a year ago, you know, once they decided to take Drake May at the top of the draft rather than trade down and, you know, amass capital and try and pick out other positions first. Once they decided to draft May, they did draft a bunch more receivers and offensive linemen. And a lot of people liked, you know, two of the receivers that they came away with, and neither of them did anything last year. So, right. You know, that might have happened again. They might, you know, Will Campbell might actually be a guard and not an offensive tackle because of his short arms and his historically small wingspan. And, you know, maybe they haven't upgraded the offensive line. And Kyle Williams You know, a load of people love that guy as a prospect in this draft, but maybe he's this year's Jalen Polk. You know, it's possible. Or maybe all the things they did are massive successes, and they've catapulted themselves forward in a massive way. And, you know, Will Campbell is a huge upgrade at left tackle, and Morgan Moses is a quality right tackle as a stopgap starter, and Mike Owenu bounces back, and, you know, Garrett Bradbury could be an upgrade. Like, you could paint a picture where all these things work out or none of them do, and that's the difference between, like, the first overall pick in next year's draft and a double-digit win team.
Yeah. How about Diggs within all of that, Sam?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Diggs, another example where his range of outcomes is all the way from, like, he's the number one receiver they haven't had for a few years to there's a non-zero chance he isn't on the roster when the season starts.
Sam Monson, our guest. So the Bills sort of, you know, again, at the top of the list here when it comes to the AFC East and maybe even the conference overall when it comes to the odds here. What are, to put it a different way maybe, what are their potential pitfalls here, Sam? Like, okay, if New England, for one, hits on its moves and ends up winning 10 or 11 games, then you've got something of a race. What could slow the Bills down, you know, from within themselves?
I mean, obviously, injuries is always the big unknown, the thing that looms over every team every season, that one injury to a key player kind of derails everything. Really, though, I think the Bills have got a pretty tight range of outcomes this year. They should be one of the best teams in the NFL. I think quite a lot would need to go wrong for them to not be a division-leading, playoff-bound football team. And they kind of avoided, I think, the biggest potential pitfall for them in the offseason, which is viewing consistent playoff failure as, like, something radical needs to change. You know, this is an indication of a critical flaw on the team or in the roster or in the approach, and we got to blow it up and go in a completely different direction. I think that they've avoided that so far. You know, they didn't do anything crazy. They kept relatively staying the course, and I think that's the correct approach. Like, I think, you know, ultimately this team is, I don't want to say they've been unlucky, because most of those defeats I think have been fair enough, but it's just the reality of, like, they are a really, really good football team, but they're also losing to other very, very good football teams at the stage of the season where only one, you know, one team can advance. And sometimes that's just the way it goes, unfortunately.
I like that that's where you are on them and their overall, Sam. But it is notable in here. We've talked a few different times here, not to get too loose on tangents about the NHL, the NBA, but the Knicks went further than they'd been in 25 years and fired the coach. The Toronto Maple Leafs got to the second round again and are blowing up the roster, letting key players walk in free agency. And there are other examples. And we sort of wonder, because I'm mostly like you, like, from a distance, you know, we do talk a lot of hockey in here, and for 8 or 9 years been like, keep running it back, Toronto, you're good, you're gonna get there, the door will open eventually. And that's a phrasing that Sean McDermott has used here. We're just keep knocking on the door and eventually it's gonna open. But I don't know, like, you can't just do that forever though. So, but you still think there's enough runway here?
Well, yeah, look, I think sometimes it is indicative of a sort of critical failure. But the most obvious examples where that is true, the weakness is the quarterback, right? Like, it is representative of, like, this is the level of that guy, and he's probably not going to go beyond that. And yeah, maybe if you catch, you know, the absolute peak of that guy's potential, he can go on a run and win 4 games in a row. You know, you can get the Joe Flacco season, mm-hmm. right, where Joe Flacco wins a Super Bowl. He's not really capable of doing that generally. But the best version of Joe Flacco that's possible was capable of doing that, and somehow the Ravens were able to get 4 or 5 games like that in a row, and that won them a championship. 2011 Eli Manning was not representative of Eli Manning. I mean, that was the best version of Eli Manning he had in his entire career, and he managed to string it together for the run to the Super Bowl and defeats Tom Brady and the Patriots. Like, most of the, like, if Eli Manning's Giants or Joe Flacco's Ravens had been where the Bills had been the last few years, and they'd gotten to the playoffs, you know, 4 or 5 times in a row, and they just kept losing against better football teams, I think you could reasonably come out of that and say, look, the difference between us and the championship is the quarterback. It's Joe Flacco, Eli Manning. They're just not as good as Tom Brady or, you know, whoever it is that kept knocking them over. But I don't think that's true with the Bills. Josh Allen is as good as any quarterback in the NFL. And so that's not what's causing them to come up short. And actually, in some of those games, you know, Allen has done his job. He's gone toe-to-toe with the opposition. He's done the final drive to put them ahead, and it still hasn't been enough. So I think most of the time, when it is a critical failing, it's the quarterback is coming up short. For the times where that isn't true, I don't know that there is a better alternative than just keep knocking on the door, because the chances are anything you do to blow it up and go in a different direction will make it worse from, you know, being one of the four best teams in football.
Really good. Sam, so there's two areas that are, you know, within this point, the bigger point you're making, where the Bills get questioned or whatever. One is defensively, they took a step back last year, but really went after it. First-round pick Max Harrison will be interesting at corner. They might even hope that he plays well enough in the summer to earn a starting position. But Bosa and Hoyt and Ogunjobi and everything else they did up front, they poured a lot of resources into that. Will that make an important difference for them? And then also wide receiver, they still get questioned. maybe it's our fault. But I think a lot of reasonable people wonder whether they have the talent at receiver to get there, even, you know, considering how close they've come.
Brandon Bean certainly seems to think
yes.
It's your
fault. Yes, he does.
I think they've done a lot of good work on defense this offseason. And in particular, I think it was interesting the way they approached it, because they've signed a couple of guys that are going to be suspended for a whole bunch of time at the start of the season. So this is clearly, it's not a move to be good for the first 6 weeks. It's a move to be good, you know, late in the season or in January when they need it. They've gone for depth, and that's a really good and deep looking defensive line now. And that, I think, could make a difference, because they have had times where they haven't had the push up front or they haven't had the pressure. Hairston's going to be an interesting player to watch and see if he can hit the ground running. Dorian Strong, the other corner they drafted, is another interesting pick, given his skill set. So they will hope that one of those guys can emerge as the starter over the course of the year and hold up his own on that side. The receiver question is interesting, because Brandon Bean's point is entirely fair, right? Which is, look at what we did last year. Why do we need different receivers? I also think it's a fair question to say, why does this team not have anybody that has a natural X wide receiver skill set on the roster? You know, we have a ton of wide receivers. We've got a ton of tight ends. We've got a ton of pass catchers, and none of them fit that box. And what's more is, that would be fine if you just sort of maintained the same guys year on year on year. But new faces have come and gone, and since Stephon Diggs left, nobody has brought in that kind of skill set. And, you know, you might argue that guys like Keon Coleman, I mean, people liked Keon Coleman as a prospect, but almost everybody that did thought of him not as that type of player. And yet as soon as they drafted him, they were saying, no, he'll play the X. That's where he's going to play for us.
Yeah.
And I think based off his rookie season, it's just not really his strength. So I think they're both reasonable cases. Like, he's kind of right to be a little bit annoyed by people keep bringing it up. But I also think it's a fair line of questioning, which is, this is a missing skill set within this offense. Now, you can argue that it doesn't matter, and we're going to overcome that, and we'll still cook and have one of the best offenses in the NFL. But I think it's at least a reasonable question to raise and say, why is this what's happening? Whether or not you're going to do anything about it, at least let us understand why it's been the approach you're taking.
Right. Josh Palmer is someone that they're looking for to do a lot of that. And he is someone that being mentioned, I think, you know, specifically when he was railing about the topic. And to me, like, maybe that works. He does have great separation numbers, but it's never really happened for him. And to me, he's like, you know, they paid him $12 million a year. That's like mid-tier receiver. Like, it's not, you know, indicative of a commitment to, like, a guy that's a number one or anything.
Yeah, and I don't think he's really an ex-receiver-style player either. I mean, mm-hmm. I think he's another one of these players they have that works as a flanker that can do a lot of good things, but doesn't replace what you lost in Stephon Diggs. So it is an interesting group that they have. By the way, Brandon Bean, I think, might be like the most sensitive general manager in the entire NFL. And this is not just because of that. Like, I mean, now that I don't work at PFF, I can tell stories. But like, PFF had to change the way they applied grading to free agents because Brandon Bean called up one day, butthurt that we criticized the Matt Khalil signing.
Oh, wow. That's going back, but
had to change is strong.
Yeah. I mean, he threatened to pull business. Like, this was he was big mad about that.
Wow.
Well, like you said, in terms of wide receivers, you can see both sides, and that's what has made it so interesting, I think. Like, I speak for myself to debate and talk about over the years. What's your feeling about Kansas City? Everything with the Bills, you know, the Kansas City is sort of like looking over our shoulders and looming. Do you like their offseason? Maybe not. Getting Rice back seems big. What's your feeling about the Chiefs' season ahead?
Yeah, I think they had a really nice offseason. I think they had one of the best drafts in the NFL. The one question, though, is still that offensive line has the potential to undermine a lot. You know, now you've got kind of a question mark at left tackle. I mean, Jalen Moore is working on a very small sample size of decent play at the NFL level. They've insulated themselves against that to a degree with Josh Simmons, the rookie, but he's coming off a serious knee injury. But now, you know, so left tackle is something of a question mark. Left guard is a question mark because that's now going to be either Kingsley Suamataia, who was one of the left tackle solutions last year, or Mike Caliendo, who I think has shown he's just not a starting caliber left guard right now. You know, Creed Humphrey should be good at center. Trey Smith should be good at right guard. And then Juwan Taylor is sort of always underachieved relative to the money they got him for at right tackle. So all of a sudden, 3/5 of that offensive line could be problematic. Now, maybe the most likely thing is it won't be 3, maybe it'll be 2, but you know, all of a sudden, like they've really focused on that offensive line ever since that first Super Bowl against the Bucs, where the line fell apart, and it wasn't even really the line; it was the backup line at that point had fallen apart. And from that point, they seemed determined that was never going to happen again. All of a sudden, the cracks are there in a way they haven't been, you know, previous to this.
What did Alex Gold tell us, Bulldog? Have the Chiefs not had a different left tackle like 7 years in a row?
Something like that.
AFC championship games, and it's like always a different left tackle, maybe. Does that sound right, Sam?
Yeah, I think there was some stat. Like, I don't think Mahomes has ever had two consecutive seasons with the same left tackle.
Okay.
Like, how about the same question about the Ravens, Sam?
The Ravens, I think, they have one of the best rosters in the NFL, top to bottom. It's difficult to find, you know, weaknesses. I mean, we just pre-recorded a show looking at kind of the best units in the NFL, and like, 3 of them are on the Ravens. I mean, they have an elite secondary. They've got, an elite backfield when you look at Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, Justice Hill, like the players they can deploy there. I think the defensive front is pretty good. The offensive line, I think, is solid, if not spectacular. The receiving core is similar. Like, this, it's a team without too many flaws.
Baltimore at Buffalo, week 1, Sunday night.
Is there a team out there that you see ascending? We've been talking for years here, Ravens, Bills, Chiefs. We thought maybe Houston last year, at least some thought Houston might be ascending there, and they hit some speed bumps. The Bengals had an uneven year. Maybe they'll be back. Is there someone coming on the rail here that we should be on the lookout for in the AFC, Sam?
I mean, I wouldn't rule out the idea that Houston sort of bounces back this year and has the season this season that people thought they would have a year ago. You know, they loaded up last offseason like they expected to contend, and obviously it didn't happen, and it fell apart. But even, I mean, it fell apart, they still won a bunch of games and made the playoffs. Right. Like, it was a catastrophe by some standards, and it was still good enough to get them into the postseason. And in a funny way, I was kind of more impressed by C.J. Stroud in year 2 with one of the worst offensive lines in the league in front of him, and how he performed in those circumstances than I was, you know, seeing him kind of fresh into the league and taking people by surprise. If they're able to fix that offensive line, and it's, you know, it's a significant if, they could have a really, really impressive season.
Sam, just a quick thought or two before you go. I'm curious for your thoughts on what the NFL has done again with kickoffs. I kind of think that, so one thing they did, which might have seemed like a small thing, was now you can run an onside kick. You have to announce it, but you can run an onside kick at any point when you're, as long as you're losing on the scoreboard, you can do this. And if kickers can't resist, and if coaches don't want them to, touchbacks, and the ball's at the 35 to start a drive now, not even the 30, I feel like the onside kick becomes a little bit closer to not plus EV, but maybe it becomes a little bit interesting. Although I'm saying this, sort of, I guess I'm inherently assuming that there will be touchbacks and there'll be drives at the 35. Maybe not. Do you respect?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What the league has tried to do with kickoffs, and do you think this year might be like meaningfully different?
This year is what they should have done last year. You know, they were supposed to have the kick coming out to the 35, and then at the last second they kind of balked at that, and they had it further back, and that just led to everybody kicking touchbacks. Like, there was no benefit effectively to not kicking a touchback. In last year's NFL, the first year of this kind of new dynamic kickoff or whatever they were branding, this is what it was supposed to look like, where because it's going to come out to the 35, if you kick a touchback, I think you're going to see a lot more returns this year. And that was what they were trying to do in the first place, which is, you know, let's bring the kickoff back as a play, but without the injury risk, without the heightened injury risk. So I think this year you're going to get a much better idea of what it was supposed to look like, and you should see more kick returns, more kick return touchdowns. And yeah, I think you'll probably see a few more onside kicks because of that, but I think it'll still remain an extremely low percentage play, the onside. So I think you're just going to see a massive increase in the number of returns, period.
Good. Right, Bulldog? You're on board. You'd
sure.
like to see that.
Yeah. I think it ticked up last year, maybe not to the dramatic effect that they could have, like you're saying, Sam, if it went to the 35, but I think it was effective enough that building on it seems like a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was the right solution. They kind of made it toothless by not having it at the right yard line. I think we saw, obviously, there was a certain tick up in returns, but I think now you're going to see a much bigger percentage.
Very good. Sam, stay cool in Cincinnati. Good luck with all the painting and sanding and all that fun stuff. Appreciate your time and your insight as always.
Thanks, guys. Take it easy.
All right, Sam Monson, check the mic for the 33rd Team, his podcast. Great. Now we have the most sensitive general manager in two leagues. Perfect. There's just no reason for it. Like, I remember I was always a Tyrod Taylor fan, on and off the field. I always wanted to stick up for him. Mm-hmm. I thought he was better than he got credit for being and just liked how he went about things. One year he went to the Super Bowl and talked about how harsh the Buffalo media was, and I was just like, you got to be kidding me. Have you ever been anywhere else? Like, just how I couldn't believe it. Like, I couldn't believe that he would say that he thought, and, you know, I've got one seat at the table, and I'm just, like, always defending him. He wasn't talking about me, I hope. I mean, I can't imagine he was. So why would Buffalo sports executives be so sensitive? Do they even know what it's like in, like, Chicago?
Maybe not.
For one? I mean,
I don't know.
Really? Adams yesterday, I don't want to necessarily just dive back into that, but just incredible, right? Like, I feel sorry for our fans, the misinformation. A, we might even like the information, the misinformation, because it's better than what you're doing.
Right.
We might even, like, sort of want to fantasize about that being real, whatever. Right. And B, just, like, why obsess yourself with that in the first place? Well, I don't get to decide.
No,
how other people feel.
Right.
I don't get to decide. It's very frustrating. You should want me to.
No, you shouldn't.
Yes.
No.
I already said two times earlier that I think I'd be a good owner.
I'm over here. Over here no commenting, which is tough.
I do think
for a radio show host.
Okay. Some interesting different football things with Sam there. The Sabre stuff is hot right now. The draft starts Friday night. 803-0550 if you want to give us your take on one of these topics. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil. Maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.